Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mike Toxie, Left is Never Right, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. We're knocking out the New World Order, one libtard at a time. And I'm really excited for this one, folks. Oh, yes, I am. Because we're going to discuss four different topics. Before I do that, however, as most of you know, I do listen to Alex Jones every day because, again, over the years, I've been doing this for years. I've been on social media now for 6 years. Started out doing YouTube shorts, then moved on to Blog Talk Radio in 2012. Took a year off last year, came back onto the scene earlier this year, took another mini hiatus. Then I decided I need to do a daily show. I have gotten over the years my information from many, many sources. It first started out when I lost my job in Connecticut. Yes, a dying blue state. And I started watching Fox News. And, you know, again, I was getting familiar with stuff and realized 9/11 was an inside job. But then I really started to get energized fully around 2010. And so I moved on then into alternative media, also looking at Russia Today, RT.com, British Broadcasting, BBC.com, moved on into Drudge. I sporadically listened to Alex Jones. I also listened to Mark Levin, called into his show. Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage. And I started to go more and more, a little bit to Infowars.com, look at their articles, fact check. And then the things that Alex Jones was talking about, either weeks or months later, everybody else would start talking about. So I started to see a common denominator here. Alex Jones always seems to be first. And then when we had the fake phony Bin Laden raid, and when Alex said that something bad is going to happen to SEAL Team 6, and then it did, I really started to take notice. And I started listening to Alex daily, probably around 2013. And I realized something. As I was doing my show since 2012 and barely touching upon Alex Jones, we were using a lot of times the same music. And not that I copied his and he doesn't know who I am, although I think he's going to start to remember me as I call into his shows more and more. I called it twice last week. Spoke to him for a little bit, spoke to Jakari Jackson a couple of days after for 4 minutes, and I will be calling in regularly as I can. So I'm going to build a relationship with Alex Jones. But at any rate, we also use the same language. When Ukraine was overthrown, I said days later it was George Soros. Nobody believed me. Then Alex Jones, a few months later, started saying it started to come out. Soros admitted it. So I found myself really on a common wavelength, a common frequency, if you will. And it happened again yesterday. He had Matt Bracken on, and his website is enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. He's a former military insider who's gone his own way, much like Dick Morris and Larry Nichols, who were Clinton insiders. They've gone their own way after discovering the truth. For more than a year, I've been saying that America has been too soft, playing by the Marquis of Queensberry rules, and that Ron Paul was too soft, his son Rand was too soft, and I also used the Marquis of Queensberry rules reference to, you know, we're not allowed to waterboard, we've got to treat everybody nicey-nicey, whereas the enemy is cutting heads off of our people and off of Christians. And Matt Bracken used the Marquis of Queensberry rules reference to Donald Trump being the opposite of that, being a scrapper, being a fighter, and that's his appeal. And I was like, wow, no, that's my reference. And then he also went on to say that Hillary voters are just interested in having the EBT cards loaded up every other week with $200 or so. And well, folks, you can check my page, Seeking Higher Truth. I have often said that the Democratic platform is, I want my EBT card. I want to marry anyone or anything I want, and please protect my right to infanticide. And, of course, the fourth one is now is make everybody legal, and let's open up the floodgates, and we're going to hug and kiss each other. It's going to work out great, just ask France and Germany. So I just love that. When I hear my phrases being used by what you could say big shots and professionals at the game, and again, it's not that they know who I am. It's the fact that we're on the same frequency. We're in the know, if you will. And when I see, you know, these big guys like this using the same phrases I'm using, I know that I'm on the right track. Okay? I know that I'm telling the truth. I know that I'm finding the truth. I know that my reasoning and my deductions are accurate, they're correct, and they are on par with, I'm not going to use this term, conspiracy theorists. That was what the CIA made up to discredit people who questioned the JFK narrative. Now, I'm going to use the term truth seekers, because that's what we are. We have a good foundation for the truth. We look for the truth, and then we expose the truth and spread that truth amongst a heap load of opposition. And that opposition can come from anywhere. It could come from your coworkers. It definitely comes from social media. It could come from your friends. And it can come from your family right down to your spouse. But you cannot let that deter you, ladies and gentlemen, from exposing the truth, because there is more on the line here than just your own personal relationships and your own personal status. We that are in the know realize that this election, and I know that we kind of used that language as well in 2012. I briefly discussed that yesterday. And, you know, 2012 was pivotal as well. We knew that if Obama got a second term, knowing that legally it would be his last term, and I said this in 2012, he would go hog wild. There would be absolutely, excuse me, no restraint at all. Matter of fact, that's what he said to one of Vladimir's ambassadors, right? We caught that hot mic moment where he said, you know, this is my last election, and after this one, which he knew he was already going to win, he would have a lot more flexibility. And that is correct because, well, he doesn't have to appeal, let's say, to fringe voters, which he didn't anyway. I mean, he really just won the hardline leftists. He converted a lot of people into Marxism, which was his plan to transform America. He was very successful. And any president that gets a second term basically finds himself facing retirement. So you can just go at it. And I don't know anyone except someone living in total denial, I don't know anyone that can honestly say that Barack Obama has not caused absolutely a lot more damage in his second term as opposed to his first term. And as all signals are coming out, Hillary Clinton will just be Obama's third and fourth terms. So we realize that basically if Hillary wins in 2016, 2020 is irrelevant. I mean, you might as well just retire from politics. You might as well just have as much fun as you can. Try to enjoy life as much as you can. I feel sorry for the young people who are already suffering socially, economically, and morally. Most of them don't even know it. Some of them are awake to the fact. And Alex played a video yesterday, and it did bring out some hope that Bernie Sanders supporters were interviewed, and most of them saw how screwed that they got, not just from the Hillary Clinton crime machine, but that Bernie Sanders sold them down the river. And they say they're going to be converting to Trump. So if we could get most of Bernie supporters on board, we actually might have a shot at this thing. So moving right along to the first article, as I promised yesterday, I was going to lead into today the latest in the Muslim fundamental terror attack fulfilling what it says in the Quran to destroy the infidel. If you don't bow down to Allah, word for word in the Quran, and you can still call yourself a Muslim, you will still be seen as an infidel, and you must be killed. So let's start off with yesterday. Benghazi, Libya. That's a very familiar name, isn't it? 23 killed, 20 injured. 23 lives are lost to a Fedayeen suicide bomber in a residential area. August 1st, two of them. Quetta, Pakistan, two killed. Two Hazara religious minorities are brutally gunned down on the street. Kabul, Afghanistan, we've heard about that one. One killed, four injured. A guard is killed during a suicide assault on a foreign guest house. July 31st, there were two of them. Mogadishu, Somalia, we've heard about that place. 10 killed, 15 injured. At least 10 are killed when religious hardliners launch a suicide attack on a police building. Kirkuk, Iraq. Five killed, two injured. ISIS members enter the control room for a pumping station and shoot five employees to death. They took off, apparently. They took a two-day rest on July 30th and the 29th. So we skip to the 28th, and we have Mosul, Iraq, 14 were killed. Five women and a child are among 14 civilians executed by firing squad for trying to flee the caliphate. So they don't even want to let you go. No, they find it that it is more soothing to kill you rather than let you go free. Now, there is a weekly jihad report on the same website, and it says July 23rd through July 29th. There were 50 attacks, 412 killed, 701 injured, 9 suicide blasts in 14 different countries. Okay, so this is a worldwide assault, as the religionofpeace.com/attacks point out. And so many of you might not know exactly what a jihad is. So let's find out exactly what a jihad is all about.
Terrorism seems to be everywhere, and it's getting worse. The bad guys have lots of names: ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram. But they have one thing in common. They are all killing for a cause: Islamic law, known as Sharia. Sharia is the implementation of medieval Islam. Sharia demands a holy war called jihad. The most widely available book of Islamic law in English says jihad means to war against non-Muslims. There are two kinds of jihad. Violent jihad is horribly simple: slaughtering innocents and forcing submission. Violent jihadists want to conquer land for their caliphate, essentially an Islamic state where Sharia law is supreme. But there is another kind of jihad. In their explanatory memorandum, the Muslim Brotherhood calls this civilization jihad, saying the Muslim Brotherhood must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers. Civilization jihad has the same goal as violent jihad: to conquer land for their caliphate. But instead of waging war or staging terror attacks like their brothers in the violent jihad, these civilization jihadists wear suits and ties, and their work is much more subtle. So what do? They file lawsuits for Muslim truck drivers who don't want to drive beer. They convince schools to hold Muslim Day, where the girls wear headscarves and the kids say Muslim prayers. They complain when our government watches to see if their violent buddies are hanging out with them. They call anyone critical of Islamic law an Islamophobe, a term they invented to make people scared to speak out. Like the neighbors of the terrorists in San Bernardino, who knew something was wrong, but didn't want to say anything because they'd be accused of profiling. These bad guys have lots of names too: CARE, MSA, ISNA. The Justice Department found that these groups were in fact started by the Muslim Brotherhood. These groups like to say that terrorism has no religion, but only Islam has Sharia and jihad. Not all Muslims practice Sharia or support it, but an awful lot do. They believe that anyone who insults Islam can be killed. They believe that women are property, that gays should be killed, and that little girls should be mutilated and forced to marry old men they've never met. These things are simply not allowed in our free society and are against the Constitution. There are plenty of modern Muslims who want to live and let live, but unfortunately the groups that speak most often for the Muslim community follow the medieval version based on Sharia. They are working to make the U.S. more like the caliphate. They have to go. Find out more and how you can help at counterjihad.com.
So, you see, ladies and gentlemen, there is a civil jihad. It's a two-pronged attack. And, well, that was part of getting Barack Obama elected. You see, he was very pivotal in pushing the civil jihad to the West, and especially in the United States of America, which is the main protectorate of the West. And slowly Barack Obama put in a lot of czars. And that's interesting that the United States government used the term czar. Now, I know that pre-communist Russia, czar means Caesar, which also means king in Latin. He slowly put in members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And as the audio points out, the civil jihad, they wear suits. Well, there is another member of the civil jihad, and that man's name is Khizr Khan. He is more than just the father of an army captain who was killed in the Iraq War. He works as an immigration lawyer, taking huge fees to help migrants buy visas to get into the U.S. He will lose huge sums of money if Donald Trump's immigration policies take effect. His former law firm represents Saudi Arabia, which donated $10 to $25 million to the Clinton Foundation, which, by the way, is funding her campaign. His former law firm also represented the Clinton family preparing Hillary Clinton's tax returns. Clearly, Kazir Khan has motives to attack Donald Trump that go beyond the memory of his son. Recently, Kazir Khan said he wants out of his feud. He wants to extricate him and his wife from this. This is not his style. Well, Kazir Khan, yes, it is your style. And you were told to get on that stage because you are bought and paid for by the Clintons. And you don't like it now that you are being exposed for what you really are. You are a Muslim shill. You hide behind your son's heroism to charge Donald Trump with false claims of bigotry. You, sir, are a fake. You are a fraud, just like the entire Marxist Party. All of you are complete frauds. Aiding and abetting to this civil jihad is, as previously mentioned, Barack Hussein Obama. Multiple sources from mainstream media outlets like the Washington Times through alternative media such as Breitbart and the Daily Caller and so much more, the U.S. apparently secretly sent Iran $400 million in cash. The same day prisoners were released, that was our military personnel, our Navy people on that ship that was taken right around the time the Iran nuclear deal was being signed, as memory serves. The Obama administration secretly airlifted wooden pallets stacked with $400 million in cash. On the same January day, Iran was releasing four Americans they were holding prisoner. Wooden pallets stacked with euros, Swiss francs, and other currencies were flown into Iran on an unmarked cargo plane, according to these officials. The U.S. procured the money from the central banks of the Netherlands and Switzerland. Now, you may ask yourself, why would the United States government use foreign currencies? Well, you see, there's a little law that was passed, you see. The White House claims the money represented the first installment of the $1.7 billion in the United States seized in 1979 after an arms deal with the Shah of Iran. But you see, we have sanctions still against Iran. And the sanctions clearly state that it is illegal to conduct transactions with Iran in American dollars. Well, isn't that nice? This is how the United States government, quote-unquote, legally get around their own sanctions, which is why they're all BS. Shouldn't the sanction be it's illegal to conduct transactions with Iran? I mean, what's the difference with American dollars? Wow. So you just do what Barack Hussein Obama did. You just go around it. The government, which has been owned by the globalists for some time now, love to use semantics. They will say to you, well, we didn't break the law. We used foreign currency. But you still help the country that you have sanctions on, a country that is one of the leaders in financing, and promoting terrorism. Terrorism that has taken place all around the world and against our allies and within the United States. These sanctions are crap. As for why it was a cash payment, a U.S. official with knowledge of the transaction told the journal, and it's the Wall Street Journal, right? Sometimes the Iranians want cash because it's so hard for them to access things in the international financial system. I wonder why. They know it could take months just to figure out how to wire money from one place to another. The Obama administration has always maintained they did not and would not pay ransom to anyone for the release of U.S. hostages. And once again, we can just play the art of semantics. We can pay Iran $400 million equivalency using foreign currency. So we get to bypass our own sanctions, and we do it right around the time that the hostages were released. But we can just say, no, it wasn't for ransom. It was an installment on a prior deal. These are the semantics that these lawyers who, well, almost all of our politicians are lawyers, and, well, this is why. Experts in the law bend and twist the law, which is why when we had the Comey hearing last month, the best guy that asked questions, I forgot his name right now, before he took office was a pharmacist, and he asked the best common sense questions out of everybody. Why? Because common sense is pure. Common sense is good. Manipulating the law is just that. Manipulation. So, without saying it, ladies and gentlemen, our Muslim president, who has shown every sign under the sun these last 8 years, outside of admitting it, even though he did when he was interviewed with George Stephanopoulos over 8 years ago. And then we have him giving $400 million to a country that we have sanctions on, who promotes terrorism, right around the time that Iran released four of our American personnel, but it wasn't paying the ransom. Right. I didn't delete any emails, even though I deleted emails. I didn't delete any classified emails, even though they were classified emails. Right. It just goes on and on and on. And let's talk about another lovely issue that the left wing wants to put more gun control. Because you see, crime is a gun problem. It's not an ideology problem. It's not a cultural problem. No, a gun problem. And one of the cities in America that has the highest gun control laws, you would think, wow, take the guns away from the people and everything is going to be just fine. Well, Chicago, Illinois, suffered its deadliest July in 10 years. That's right, folks. The famous Chicago, Illinois, where it is okay to strip law-abiding citizens of their guns. Chicago, Illinois, where you never hear of murder after murder after murder because, well, it's just become old hat, and really nobody pays attention to it anymore. So what we have, this just goes undetected, and you would think that mainstream media would talk about this, but, you know, why talk about something that just doesn't mean anything anymore? So we have Chicago having its deadliest July in over 10 years. Your fallacy of removing the Second Amendment is going to keep Americans safe. Finally, Pope Francis has said something that is on par with not just the Catholic religion, not just with the Christian faith, but with common sense and natural law in total. Pope Francis slams gender choice being taught to kids as terrible and unnatural. Finally, Pope Francis has gotten into this because we see that transgendership and homosexuality is being taught to our children earlier and earlier. Today in schools, they are teaching this to children. To children, he said, that everyone can choose their gender. Pope Francis said, calling such policies ideological colonizing, supported and funded by very influential countries. Without identifying which country exactly he believes are involved, the Pope lays textbooks supplied by persons and institutions who donate money. Calling such approach terrible, Pope Francis also said that he had discussed the issue with his predecessor, Pope Benedict XVI, who called it a sin against God. Well, you bet it is. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against humanity. It's a sin against our children. It's a sin against natural law. It's a sin against nature itself. Speaking with Pope Benedict, who is well and has a clear mind, he was telling me, Holiness, this is the epoch of sin against God the Creator. He's intelligent. God created man and woman. God created the world this way, this way, this way. And we are doing the opposite. And I've discussed this many, many times. Depression is up. Suicide is up. Drug addiction is up. And I'm talking pharmaceutical synthetic drugs, especially. Every aversion under the sun is up. As we slip deeper and deeper into bizarro world. And that's exactly where we're living. So Pope Francis is saying, freakazoid, leave those kids alone.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Kids alone. Look, you know what? If you all want to dress up as a baby, you want to poop in diapers, you want to put a pacifier in your mouth, or you want to call yourself a goat or whatever the hell you're into this week, go right ahead. But I'm going to tell you right now, Pope Francis and Michael B. says, leave them kids alone. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get a lot more of this in Hillary's America. The weekend is coming up. I implore you to Google, just Google Hillary's America, and you will get local movie theaters in your area. Go see the movie. Try to take as many people as you can. It is PG-13. If you can get your teenage children there, I really recommend it because the young have to be taught the truth that schools will not teach. So let's not slip into Hillary's America. My name is Michael B. This is Higher Truth Radio, knocking out the New World Order. The left is never right. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Texas time. And we're going to get this right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to win this thing.
The Democrats are the party of economic opportunity, social justice, and racial equality. That's their pitch. But is it true? Who are these Democrats?
It really goes back to this idea of social engineering and social control. In America, we called it progressivism. Soviet Union, they called it communism.
The whole purpose of the Democratic Party was to reestablish white supremacy.
The Democrats support slavery, while we, Republicans, oppose slavery.
To the Democratic Party.
This Civil Rights Act will allow colored men to sit at the same table beside the white guest.
The racism continued well into the 20th century.
We got to give them a little something, but not enough to make a difference.
Sometimes the violence intensified. Other times the racism merely changed form. Almost everything they did had a racist motive.
While Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, the Clintons took hundreds of millions of dollars from foreign entities.
Shame on you! Shame on you!
She looked very menacing. I was really frightened.
I didn't see any reason to keep them.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. What difference at this point does it make?
Imagine how much worse things could get if these two depraved crooks returned to the White House.